Log Talk Radio.
That's about. That's Muddy Waters on the K Thompson Live Show. My name is Eric. I am the son, the co-host, and it's just me today. Well, because it's New Year's Eve, 2014. Not New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve. I'm putting myself ahead into the future. It's the 24th of December, 2014, and we're not really on the air today. However, just wanted to dip in real quick and to wish everybody a happy holiday. And Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, and all the holidays associated with this joyous time of year. My mom and Wayne and I are supposed to be off, but I just decided to call in and talk to a lot of our listeners. That's a little bit of the legendary Muddy Waters that you first heard. If you could hear it, I kind of had my makeshift way that I would try to set up our sound system here, but that was a... If you can hear him, that's Muddy Waters, the legendary Muddy Waters. But anyway, what I wanted to just really, there's some things that just went on the past week that kind of makes you really want to comment on a couple of things. And for one, we had the, just within the last day or two, I would say, unfortunately, and we might have mentioned this last week, the unfortunate incident where the two police officers were killed by a guy that wasn't well, was also a criminal, but also had a kind of a troubled mental history. And all of the vitriol that and the hatred that seems to be spewing forth in certain places of our community kind of bubbles over. And this is what happens when it seems that there's no justice. It kind of whips around and catches everybody. And a couple of observations I had about that particular incident of the unfortunate things of these two New York City police officers who were killed by this gunman who was caught up in the anger of the killings of black men by police officers. But this guy himself was a criminal and he wasn't a stable individual. And he got caught up in the rhetoric and let the emotion bubble over. And because he was an individual who wasn't able to clearly deal with his emotions and things that were going on in his mind, he took the final drastic step of taking matters into his own hands and killing these two police officers. Now, a couple of ironies, something that I found ironic about this situation, about this killing, was that the two police officers that ended up dying were, for all intents and purposes, officers of color, an Asian officer and a Hispanic officer. And the issue at hand that kind of started the police, public against the police thing, as we all know, was black men being killed by white police officers. And then it became a police thing, and then obviously it became everybody against the police. And what ends up happening is that two people of color that happen to be police officers end up losing their lives. I'm not saying and trying to indicate that he should have shot or went after or goes after white police officers. It's just the climate. It's the climate of misunderstanding, unreasonable hatred thrown in. And that climate is... So when people say, you know, you overgeneralize, all cops are bad, all black people are bad, all white people are bad, you know, it's not true. It's righteous and good people against people who would see us not to be the best that we can be. And in my opinion, it's just really ironic that, you know, that this, the crux of the matter was black men being killed by white police officers, and the two police officers that end up the violence coming back on them are police officers of color. And it's not about, you know, cops versus the average person on the street. It's about good police officers versus bad police officers. And that's pretty much really what it boils down to. In my opinion, the problems stem from people blowing the issue out of proportion. When you have the police union head talking about the mayor of New York City has blood on his hands because of things he said in support of the clear injustice about the Eric Garner case, that blows things out of proportion. Everybody should be willing to admit, and I think the cops should also be willing to admit, that, yeah, we might have a few bad apples that don't do their job, that are not good, but the majority of us are good, as everybody does know. But it seems that in some of the statements I've seen from police representatives, that they just want the public to take them good and bad. Don't complain if there's a couple of bad cops, because for the most part we're here to protect and keep you safe, which obviously doesn't, a lot of African Americans that live in black communities don't feel that, but the mentality of the police officers is we're here to keep you safe. So if the few bad ones end up doing bad things, then accept it. Don't ask us anything about it. And I think that's the attitude that at least that I'm picking up from this representative of the police union. And it's like, to hell with everybody. We're beyond reproach, and we're above making mistakes, and we're all human, and we all make mistakes. So just that that energy coming off of him is off-putting. It seems to send up a signal of someone who's not willing to compromise, not willing to work with people. And I understand when you're head of an organization and you have to promote that organization and fight for the members of that organization, that's what you do. But at a certain point, you have to realize what's the bigger picture, what's the greater good, so to speak. So the police head of the police officers union in New York, I think he does a disservice because it's really an opportunity that we have to come together. And people want to talk about, I heard Uncle Rudy, Uncle Racist Rudy, in my opinion, some of the things he says are racist. Mr. Ex-Mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, is what I'm talking about. And to say things, you know, to throw out a statistic, I like, why do black people keep killing each other? More black people kill each other than white cops kill black people. To me, when someone throws out excuses or statistics like that in response to a statement, it's to say as if, well, you guys do it, so what's the problem here? The response almost is like, well, you guys kill each other, so what's the problem if white cops end up killing black men? And that's kind of not really the response. It's, of course, that's happening, and probably the residents of the community where this black-on-black crime is taking place would like to call the police more often than they do to keep this black-on-black crime and murder from happening. But you see, they're probably, I would assume, afraid to call the police officers if they know that it's a 50-50 chance that the cops won't kill them. So it's kind of, you know, when people make these statements, you kind of got to really look at the reasons and the context of the statement, and really what's the reason for the facts behind these statements. And just to throw out incendiary statements is idiotic, and it doesn't leave us to a place of progress in trying to solve the problem. It's just further, in my opinion, further polarizes each side. So these are just some of my thoughts on the current situation about the situation with police officers versus the public and the perception that the police aren't there to protect and serve the community, which is not really the perception in certain communities. That's what these people are expressing. They live in communities where they don't feel they're being protected and served. They feel like they're being attacked and controlled. And you have to at least be willing to listen to concerns on both sides. That's my take on the whole police violence the whole animosity between the public and the police, and about the protests that we're having. Another thing in the news that I wanted to talk about, everybody, was with the hacking scandal of the Sony Pictures movie, The Interview. I don't know if any of you guys noticed that. I'm sure everybody did, because it's been a pretty big story the last week. But the funny thing that I have, my take on this situation is that now they're deciding to release the movie and Excuse my French. They're grown a pair. Now they're grown a pair and decided to release the movie after everybody says and everybody comes out, you should release the movie. Don't back down to terrorism. Don't do this. My opinion, and maybe some of you folks out there that listen to the Kay Thompson Live Show might share this opinion or maybe have some of these thoughts, is that, well, if that was the case, if now that you're all brave and big and bad and bold and you're going to release the movie, why didn't you just take that opinion from the very beginning? When you're threatened by these hackers to do these events, why not just say, no, we're not going to be scared of you. Freedom of speech is one of our tenets in the United States, and we have a free society. We're a democracy. We're going to go ahead and release the movie. You're not going to scare us, as opposed to being scared, then it going in to me. This is just me speaking, because it makes you look kind of wimp-like. Be scared. You say, okay, you run home. And then you wait for everybody to come over and you get a gang of people that you come back and say, no, I'm going to release the movie anyway. It's just kind of, I don't know, just kind of what I noticed. It kind of like, you know, on second thought, now you want to release the movie after you grew a pair of balls. There I said it. Sorry, Ma, that's how it is. But and it's a great thing that Sony has released a movie. But you got to understand, you know, if I kind of look at things at both sides of the coin. I'm going to make this movie, and when I wanted to see the movie, I'm still interested in seeing the movie. I like the actors, and I thought it was a comedy. And to be quite honest, I don't know what some of you folks thought. Maybe you can call in next week and we can talk about it. But I thought that what would happen in this movie is that, you know, they end up getting this interview with Kim Jong-un or whatever the guy's name is, and they get over there, and they decide to do this favor for the Secret Service to go ahead and commit this assassination. And what ends up happening is that they become friends with the guy and they kind of work it out. He's not that bad. And it's all everybody comes together and comes to some kind of understanding and they don't end up killing them. That's what I thought the movie, you know, just from me seeing the commercials and how they made it a comedy. And the first commercial had them actually kind of hanging with him, the character, the actor who plays him in the movie. So I thought, well, maybe it all turns out all, you know, fun, you know, all happy at the end, happy ending. And I would assume that if that was the case, then Sony Pictures would have come out in all the hoopla and said, no, but you don't understand. It has a happy ending. He doesn't die. They don't kill him at the end. We all become friends. My assumption can only be, since they did not do that, that in the movie, maybe they actually do end up assassinating the character based on Kim Jong-un. And if that's the case, you got to kind of understand that when one country makes a movie, produces a movie, or has someone in their country produce a movie about the assassination of another country's head of state, their president, for lack of a better term that you can call the North Korea guy, it might kind of stir up some negative feelings of people in that country. And they might kind of take it personally when your country is producing movies about killing the head of their country. I don't know. That might have been, I mean, to me, that's like, you know, again, it's like you got a big pair to decide to do that. But that's what Hollywood does. They make all kind of films. And it's great, you know, and that's freedom of speech. But, you know, that's kind of what you open yourself up to, in my opinion, when you go out there on a limb like that and kind of suggest those things in some of the art that you're trying to make or some of the things that you're producing in your culture. And I guess some people in North Korea, obviously, Kim Jong-un, what's his name? Kim Jong-il was the father. Kim Jong-un, let's call him the guy with the bad haircut, okay? The guy with the bad haircut, the head of North Korea, or it could be South Korea, I forget the two. I think it's North. But bad haircut guy, if I'm him and your country is making a movie about killing me, I'm going to take that, you know, I'm really going to take that to heart. Just like we would take to heart if another country made a movie about someone in their country killing our president, or Russia would feel the same way if we did the same thing. So, I mean, I just say when you do that, you kind of got to accept that some people aren't going to be too happy with the type of art or the type of things that you're producing. And, you know, who knows whether they're going to actually, you know, threaten you by physical violence or with physical harm. But, you know, these are extreme times. And when you start talking about making films about a very extreme people and the reach that they have to do the type of damage that they can in terms of the hacking. And, you know, in my opinion, that's nothing other than hiring some hackers to go in and hack Sony's computer systems. And if they have that type of cash disposal, money at their disposal to hire people to do that, then that obviously opens you up to be pretty vulnerable when you're producing controversial products or art for your culture. So I'm not surprised, really, that that was the response by North Korea. I mean, we're talking about a dictator who's clearly seems to be unstable and at the very least full of himself. That's obviously what dictators are, right? So I'm not surprised that there was a negative reaction. Didn't expect, like the rest of us, didn't expect for them to actually make some moves from a cyber terrorist standpoint. But, you know, this is the world we live in nowadays, right, with technology that allows our information to be compromised at the push of a button. And but it's just ironic that Sony Pictures backed down initially. I never expected them to back down because Hollywood is about making their money. And for them to back down and not release this movie and then get the support they got from everybody in the country and everywhere and then decide to release it like, yeah, we're big and bad now. I don't know. It's kind of funny to me. But I'm glad the movie's coming out, and it is, you know, it kind of makes you a little bit mad that someone was able to censor you, because they were able to censor our country and something that, you know, that was available to people in a free society, which was going to be that movie, and they were able to censor it and affect our our movie going habits for those couple of days. So it's good to at least, I like everybody else, am glad that they decided to release the movie, even though they did act like punks initially. But hey, Sony Pictures is cool. I worked for them once, but they got a lot bigger problems than I think. Me criticizing them and calling them punks. So, but they put out some good products. Obviously, they got problems with a lot of their people that work over there in terms of the emails, how they're talking about people. But on that particular occasion, or a particular that story that people are reporting on, I might have talked about it on a previous show that we did. But that story to me wasn't that big. You know, sometimes people talk trash, you know. They just gossip on their little emails when they have it's a personal conversation with people that they have in their friendship circle, so to speak. So finding that type of trash talking and stuff is not surprising when the comments made by the producers over there at Sony about President Obama wanting to see black theme movies or Kevin Hart or Denzel. It's not surprising that they talk that way to me, and I think that, you know, I'm not defending that. You know, people could talk the way they want to talk, but we shouldn't be surprised if folks have certain opinions that they have. I don't want to go as far as to say, you know, it was cool for them to say that or have those opinions. Just a little bit small-minded and maybe just making kind of crass jokes, it sounds like to me, but that's what happens when your emails get public, and that's still a part of that cyber terrorism. So you got to watch what you do on the internet. But anyway, those are some things that I wanted to talk to everybody about this evening on the Kay Thompson Live Show. As I said, the legendary Wayne Gilman, co-host, and my mom, Kay Thompson Payne. Kay Thompson are home this evening enjoying the Christmas Eve. I'm going to get off. Just wanted to say and wish everyone and all of our listeners a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. And listen to us next week on the Kay Thompson Live Show, here on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 8 p.m., 8 to 9 p.m. live. And you can also listen to our shows archived on the blogtalkradio.com network. Just go to the Kay Thompson Live Show. All right. Have a great holiday season. A Merry Christmas to everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon. Take care. Bye-bye.